This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Also joining us this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf and Washington Capital Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Louis. How are you this morning?
Morning, gentlemen.
It's thanks for joining us, Lou. Gentlemen, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's in many eyes the greatest sporting day of the year. Certainly one of the great world sporting spectacles. And today it's the Chiefs and the Eagles coming on after the first break this morning. We'll be talking to Mike Hogan, a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan, and we'll talk all things Super Bowl. Later on in the hour, the gentleman, the entrepreneur, the sports guy, John Amendola, he's going to come on, and we'll talk about what's going on in the sports card market, and also we'll get a little bit of a chat into the Super Bowl with him, and special feature we might be talking about today, guys, came up earlier in the week. LeBron got the most points ever, took over Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's most points in the NBA, and self-proclaimed himself the greatest of all time. Of course, that may have set some of the Michael Jordan fans. Certainly got their backs up. And on the hockey side of it, The Athletic this week came out with a pretty thorough piece on the top hockey players of all time, post-1967. Pretty not that difficult to figure out who the top three are, Wayne, Mario, and Bobby. Or, gentlemen, we might get a chance to talk about that as well. Let's get into it. Last night, of course, we always usually start off Sunday mornings talking about the Leafs and the Leafs week. And, Naz, you might want to remind me of the word I've been using on Sunday mornings lately. It starts with a D, ends with a G. Disconcerting. Use that phrase probably the last 5 weeks in a row. And I got to tell you, Naz, so every week we come on here, we always say it's an 82-game schedule. Let's not get hung up on one game. But we're getting too many of these performances. And, you know, it's not that easy to turn a season around on a dime, although, you know, the Leafs guys will tell you, you know, we're still third, fourth in the league. So let's all take a chill pill. But that last night's game's not a game, and Sheldon Keefe even said it, Naz. He was terribly disappointed with the effort, especially second and third period. Naz, it was an all-star week. We got a great result Friday night. We didn't like what happened last night. Your thoughts?
Of course, Joseph Woll, he had a tough time. 40 shots they let on net, Wally, and that's too many at this time of year, for sure. And they're not beating the bad teams, and they're going to pay for it. I'm telling you. They remind me of the Bills a bit, what they went through in the last stretch.
Oh, yeah. Don't remind me. certainly, they have a tough time putting away the... And, you know, mathematics-wise, it's probably not going to make a hell of a lot of difference. They ain't going to catch the Bruins unless they catch lightning in a bottle. And it looks like they're going to be fighting it out with Tampa for the 2 or 3 seed. But you certainly want to get the 2 seed. You know, get that home ice advantage. Lou, you know, from, you know, you've been through it a lot of times with the Capitals, you know, the dog days of February, I call them, just before the trade deadline. Anything that's striking you here that should be ultra concerning to Toronto Maple Leafs fans?
Yeah, watching the game last night, I think this is going to be a blueprint that a lot of teams are going to take. You know, you got to get your wins against Columbus and the Chicago. They're the bottom feeders right now. The thing that I saw last night or the last two nights with Columbus, they finished their checks off. They were physical against the smaller Leafs. You saw the Nylander and Bunting again taking retaliation penalties. And it's going to be a situation where if in the playoffs, those penalties are going to be crucial against Tampa. And you can't give teams opportunities that don't matter where they are. If you give them a 5-on-4 power play, they're going to score one goal maybe out of 10. And that's what happened last night. It was just a physical, I wouldn't say it a beatdown that Columbus gave Toronto, but their smaller players have got to learn that they've got to start taking a little bit of that physicality. And Kyle Dubas has got to open his eyes and get some physical players back and before the trade deadline to help these smaller guys play up to their game.
Any Nick Pauls out there by any chance? you know, last night, you know, Friday night, 3-0, Leafs played a sharp game. Coming off an all-star break, they're all rested, no excuses, rest, you know, and they played well. You come back against the same team, home team, and you get outshot period two and period three, 36-18 in your own building. This one rubs a little bit the wrong way, and I'm sure Keith expressed his opinion afterwards, saying, you know, we didn't bring the effort. He had a serious talk with his team after the second period. You know, the Columbus outscored them in the second period, 3-0. Didn't seem to make a huge amount of difference in the third period. And, you know, the lack of pushback in that third period from the Leafs, wow, Kyle Dubas has got to be, burning up his phone lines. Naz, you're Kyle, physicality, defense. What do you do? I'm sure it's not easy. There's a lot of guys out there. Eric Karlsson, he's $11.5 million. Edmonton's looking at him, but how you squeeze that into a cap challenge team is an interesting thing. Doesn't seem like they're going after Chychrun anymore. So, one or two players, where do you look, Ness?
I think they need a physical.
Naz, I think you just lost your connection a bit.
They should go after Luke Shen. He's a physical player. He's on the player I'd go after in the back end. Physical defenseman. And then a scorer. They need another scorer up front, I think. Because I'm not convinced the third and fourth line are any good for the Leafs.
Lou?
You know, you couldn't have said any better. Luke Shen is probably on the top of their list. Myers, another defenseman from Vancouver, is going to be a physical and imposing defenseman back there. They're just going to get somebody that's going to, you know, send a little bit of fear into the other teams, because right now, if the way Columbus played them last night, you know, it's going to be a physical, especially in the first round. And you know what they say, that hockey's probably the worst sport of all three to win a championship, and you're playing every second day, your star players have to have a little bit of room. And you know, the other teams, knowing Tampa, the way they play the game and what they have on their bottom six, it's going to be a physical game. How many times you got to say it? Bunting has got to smarten up, and Sheldon Keefe has to sit him down and tell him, listen, you know, you got to be smart about doing things, because of a crucial penalty like that, an unsportsmanlike penalty for absolutely nothing, is going to cause them to lose a playoff game.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, we've got a couple of weeks to go before the trade deadline, and you know, certainly Kyle Dubas he's got some interesting analysis and decisions to make. So it should be a fascinating couple of weeks. Anyways, we're going to take this to break. We're going to come back with Mike Hogan as we chatted about earlier. We're going to have a little debate second half of the show about the greatest player of all time in the NHL. This debate came up in The Athletic this week. Incredibly well done article by the and a project by Eric Duhatchik. Well recommended. But we'd be interested in hearing from our listeners as well. We email, if you want to email us, Naz and Wally. We've got a new email address, Naz and Wally at mzmedia.com. Be interested in your thoughts. Is it Wayne? Is it Mario? Or is it Bobby? Let us know. Naz and Wally at mzmedia.com. We'll be right back with Mike Hogan.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville decided to do what it could to stop world prices from spiralling out of control. With the large pickup special, get a large one-topping pizza for only $11.99. $11.99 for a large pizza?
Long live Pizzaville!
Call Pizzaville for the large pickup special at 736-3636.
Rayon's got big nose!
Or online at pizzaville.ca.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and also live streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the voice of the Toronto Argonauts, Mike Hogan. How are you, Mike?
Really good. And, you know, the intro to your show says that, you know, you guys are never wrong about sports. I, on the other hand, am wrong a lot. So this is a good combination.
Yeah, we wrote that we wrote that about 10 years ago, and I guess a little bit of hyperbole there. I'm sure there's a lot of times we're wrong about sports, and there's probably a debate that we're going to have later on in the show that we'll, before we let you go, Mike, we'll get you involved in that we're probably wrong on as well. But we'll leave that topic for now. Last time we chatted, Mike, it was Grey Cup Sunday, and it was before the Grey Cup. And you know what? We haven't even had a chance to chat about it, but you know what? Congrats. It was a remarkable, remarkable Grey Cup and the Argos. It was exciting, and I had to take the opportunity to congratulate you on that incredible performance. Why not?
Yeah, thanks. It was a remarkable game, and we didn't do a game on radio, so I was a communications manager as well. I was standing on the sidelines, and what a roller coaster! Oh my God, like it was crazy. How many ups and downs there were in that last quarter, especially. So. Yeah, it was one of the most remarkable games I can remember watching, and to kind of be a arm's length part of it was just amazing.
Yeah, it certainly was. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. It's one of the great spectacles in the sporting world. Great at halftime entertainment. A lot of people just tune in just for that. But we watch the football game, Mike, and was having a little chat with Naz earlier this week, saying who we're going to get on the show this Sunday, and Naz says to me, "You got to get Hoagie on." I said, "Why do we got to get Hoagie on?" He says, "Because Hoagie's a Philadelphia Eagles diehard fan," which I was unaware of, and Naz corrected me. But you're a diehard Eagles fan, Mike. How did you become an Eagles fan?
Well, the story will be weird because, as you all know, I'm only 29 years old. back in the 70s, well, late 60s, early 70s, when I became a football fan, I was a Rams fan because I loved their uniforms, and still do. Like, those classic Rams uniforms are fantastic. But when I was probably around 10, the Rams traded my favorite player, a quarterback named Roman Gabriel. And they traded Roman Gabriel to the Eagles, and I kind of followed him. And when he arrived there, their running back was named Mike Hogan. So it was a really, really easy for a 10-year-old. Yeah, and I became an Eagles fan, and I've had the illness ever since. So I think it's 50 years next year as an Eagle fan.
Oh, God bless you. Naz, I'll turn it over to you.
Mike, speaking of the Argos, can you mention to the listeners the signings this week for the Argos?
Yeah, we had some good ones. So the one we announced yesterday was A.J. Ouellette, the running back who scored two touchdowns in the Grey Cup. He's quite the guy to watch. He's that old school, I'm not going to run around you, I'm going to run over you kind of running back. He's about 5'9" tall and about 5'9" wide, and is the strongest guy on the team, including the lineman. He's got a beard like Grizzly Adams and a mullet. He's a remarkably intriguing athlete, and we got him back. We got, in our opinion, the best Canadian receiver in the league back, and Curly Gittens Jr., a kid from Ottawa, Laurier. He was born and raised in Guyana and came up here at age 8 and has really blossomed into a remarkable receiver. We got Davaris Daniels back, a Notre Dame product who's been with us for a couple of years at receiver. The player that I think was the best defensive player in the league last year, Wynton McManus, is coming back. So we got some good ones. Local guy Royce Metchie, who's their starting safety, and Deshaun Amos, who's a former All-Star in this league from a couple of years ago. So we got some really good guys back, and free agency is on, and Boris Beedy, our kicker. And we will make the announcement of a couple of more free agents on Tuesday. That's when free agency is allowed to open. We're in a 1 week window where we can talk to players and agree to terms, and we're expecting anyway to make a couple of announcements on Tuesday.
Lou,
okay,
Louie, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good, thank you. Philadelphia Eagles here.
Yes,
I pretty much know Jalen Hurts as well as anybody on this earth watching Bama play for the last decade or so, or since when he came in 16 and being 29-2. If Steve Spagnuolo boxes the front line there, is Jalen Hurts going to have a problem with running the ball? Because I'm looking back, when he was with Bama, he had a great career, but every time the team boxed the interior there, he had a tough time passing the ball. And I'm looking at stats that 2017-2018, they lost to Auburn when they started up the front nine. And then obviously the Georgia game, that Georgia knew exactly what he was going to do until they switched over to Tua to open up the second half and hit hit Georgia with a couple of low ones. But anyways, how's Jalen Hurts going to react to that kind of change? Because I think that's going to be a key factor in the game. It's Spagnuolo boxes the front line there.
Without getting too into the weeds, it depends on where they line up that extra player in the box. And what Hurts and the offense have been really good at doing is exploiting where that extra guy goes. They run a run-pass option, which to kind of put it in layman's terms, the quarterback will hang onto the ball as long as he can. He'll stick it in the belly of the running back, has the option to leave it there or take it out and run or throw off the run. So it's kind of the old triple option. It's just run a different way. And Hurts has become really good. He's made so many steps in his progress this year very quickly, where it seems he bats almost 1,000. So if they put the extra defender in the box on the strong side, they can run something the other way. And, you know, if you look at what they did to San Francisco last week, their safety and their middle linebacker, who are one of whom seemed to be assigned to Hurts every play, were just totally confused. And the offensive line is so athletic, especially the center, a guy named Jason Kelsey, who's as athletic, and he's at his last year, it looks like, he's as athletic an offensive lineman as I've ever seen. He's able to go get downfield and get to the second level and take out linebackers and defensive backs. And this is such a well-coached team, and Hurts gets it as well as anybody in the league. So it's the game within the game, and you're right. You know, Hurts at the college level struggled with that a little bit, especially at Bama, was a little bit better at Oklahoma. And now at the pros, he's been coached so well, and he is so addicted to perfection that he has spent so much time in the room watching video that he gets it, and he's been just remarkable this year.
We're talking to Mike Hogan. Mike, you know, both teams are 16-3 going in. I'm not so sure at the beginning of the season that we expected Philly to be at this level, but they've certainly earned every right to be in the Super Bowl, being the number one seed, and earned it over the course of the entire season. Interestingly enough, the odds makers have sort of wavered on this one. At first, KC was a slight favorite. Now Philly's a slight favorite. The closest point spread, one of the closest in the history of the Super Bowl. So a lot of people having a difficult time trying to figure out who's going to win this one. And the debate usually comes down to the quarterbacks. They're usually the difference makers in these types of games. But I think the difference makers a lot of times is not necessarily the quarterbacks, but the lines, the offensive and defensive line. I sort of see this one, if Philly figures out a way, their defensive line, to contain Mahomes, that's their pathway to victory. Mike, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the thing that helps them there, and you're right about line play, and you know, I'm not prone to hyperbole, but this is among the best offensive lines I've ever seen in the NFL. This goes back to sort of the Troy Aikman-Dallas offensive lines, or the Hogs back with Washington. These guys are just more athletic. So that helps the quarterback. So the line play, I think, is both offensive lines are great. Kansas City's is fantastic as well. The defensive line, what's been really interesting about Philadelphia is they've been able to get a remarkable number of sacks by just rushing four players, which gives them an extra player back in the secondary. When they rush five, you know, they have, I think it's now the second highest sack total in NFL history for one season, and they've been able to do it with just four, which is remarkable. They've got depth. They'll rotate seven or eight guys through and just keep bringing pressure, and they're able to do it. There's a guy, if you haven't watched the Eagles this year, named Hassan Reddick, who is just remarkably good, and it's a neat story because he's a Philly guy, too, who signed as a free agent to come home this year. He played at Temple in Philadelphia as well, so that's a neat story, maybe somebody to watch. It also makes the defensive line better because the two cornerbacks graded out as two of the best in the league. I think there are two of the top three in the league in terms of low quarterback rating against guys who throw against them. So Bradbury and Slay are two guys to watch as well. It's a really good defense. If there's a weakness, it might be at the far back end, but Gardner Johnson's a really good player as well in terms of picking off the football. There's really not a weakness here on the Eagles' defense, and that's what makes this matchup so good. I mean, they're the top two seeds in the conferences, the respective conference. They're the top two teams in terms of points scored. You know, they each had six Pro Bowl players. Each one of their quarterbacks is a Pro Bowl player, and they each had a Kelce on the Pro Bowl team. So it's almost a mirror image of one another.
Yeah.
Really good mobile quarterbacks. It's, I don't know who's going to win the game. I'm just hoping the Eagles find a way to do it.
It should be fascinating. It's fascinating from a lot of different perspectives. Nass?
Is Jalen Hurts underrated, Mike?
Probably. And I think the reason is because he made such a big jump this year. If you go back and look at the off-season chatter in Philadelphia among media and fans, it was that this team that Howie Roseman's putting together is awesome, but Jalen Hurts isn't any good. He's not accurate. He panics. You know, people were saying the Eagles had three first-round draft picks last year before the draft, and they were saying trade all three of them for Russell Wilson. Like it was ridiculous, some of the stuff, and how little people were thinking about Jalen Hurts, who came back this year. He was remarkably accurate. His game management, just reading defenses, has been remarkable this year. So he's played his way, and he's earned a reputation to the Pro Bowl of being one of the top handful of quarterbacks in the league this year. You know, can he carry on with it? I think so, because he's just so dedicated to his craft. Mahomes is right there. I mean, you can make the argument that these are two of the top two or three quarterbacks in the league, and I think it's very difficult to argue against that.
Lou?
Again, getting back to KC's defense there, I think that's probably the only bad spot on the KC side of the ball, is that if Jalen Hurts can expose their secondary, like a lot of teams have done in the past, I think it's going to be a lot easier for them to open up their run game. And Jalen Hurts, we all know what he can do. And for that matter, he did, I think, deadlift close to 500 to 600 pounds, if I'm not right. Wrong there, Mike, when he was at school. So he's one guy that can definitely beat you with his legs, not only his arm. And we're going to have to see if his arm's going to come through today.
Yeah, he can do six plates when he leg presses. Like it's ridiculous. But the thing, and you've nailed it. I mean, they've got KC. If there's a vulnerability on either team, it might be that secondary, because they've got three rookies back there, and they played really well for having so much youth back there. But if they, especially if they bring another guy up to take away Hurts on the running game, all of a sudden you're going to have, you know, Brown or Smith in single coverage, and good luck. You know, these are two of the better receivers in the National Football League. Yep. Goddard's maybe, you know, top two or three in terms of tight ends in the league. So they've got a lot of weapons, and they rotate their backs with Sanders and Gainwell and Scott. So they've always got fresh legs in there. It's a really, really difficult team to game plan against for an NFL team. You know, that kind of, you look at the two games, have been blowouts postseason. They put up 30 plus. It's a really dangerous offense, and you know, if they can do that to San Francisco, they can do it to Kansas City.
Mike, talk about the players. There's also coaching staffs on both sides of the both teams that are certainly well respected and considered amongst the best. And if Andy Reid, a former Philadelphia Eagle coach, was with Philly for the longest time, I'm sure you've got the highest respect for him, and he's got the respect of everybody around the league. The coaching staff of Philadelphia, maybe not as renowned and coming into their own. Let's talk a little bit about them. Tell us about what we can expect from the Philly coaching staff today.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni's done a nice job. He was a finalist for the Coach of the Year, as was Andy Reid, but... You know, Sirianni's a guy who came over from Indianapolis, got the opportunity. A lot of people kind of to scratch their heads, and so why are they going with Sirianni? But he's brought a Philly attitude there, as well as a lot of acumen as a head coach. He's just got that. Okay, I don't care. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. It's Philly's a blue collar town, and the fan base is really, really kind of. taken him under their wing. Jonathan Gannon's the defensive coordinator. He's been dynamite as well. Another young coach, and he's had a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talk about him as about possibly being a head coach somewhere in the league. There are still teams that are kind of hanging on to talk to a couple of the coaches on these two teams that have that are under contract, and they can't, you know, have the discussions until after the season is over. Shane Steichen is the offensive coordinator. He's been really good, although it's essentially Sirianni's offense. And Michael Clay is the special teams coordinator, and the special teams coverage especially have been really good as well. So Jeff Stoutland should get some props here as well, the offensive line coach, who's just a guru. He's been fantastic. So it's a really good coaching staff. These two teams, in my opinion, are the best two teams in the NFL. So have at it this afternoon. I can't see this game being a blowout for either team. Get there early and stay late. You should be really entertained.
It certainly should be. Naz, I'll turn it over to you for last question or comment for Mike, and then we'll move on. Go ahead, Naz.
How important is Patrick Mahomes today, Mike, and for Philadelphia to stop him?
He's dangerous. I mean, the thing that's really difficult for a defense against Pat Mahomes is you think you've got him, and all of a sudden he'll like flip the ball behind his back 20 yards downfield. He's kind of Doug Flutie-ish, if I can go back a few years, because just when you think he's going to do something, he'll do something else—a little shovel pass, a little underhand flip, just something to make sure that he doesn't get sacked. I assume his ankle's going to be better, but it's still not going to be 100%. He suffered what some people were calling a high ankle sprain a couple of weeks ago in the AFC semi. And I was astonished he played last week and played as well as he did. He was hobbled. It takes away some of the stuff. And I've talked to guys that had a high ankle sprain that have been out for 2 months. Some say a break is easier than a high ankle sprain because you know the timeline. And it's, you know, how it's going to heal. So the fact that he played as well as he did last week is nothing short of astonishing. And to have a couple of weeks off to get even better means he'll probably be even better today and more mobile and not have to, you know, we saw him throwing off his front foot last week, which was odd, and he still got the job done. So nothing he does surprises me. So if he comes out and throws for 350, it'll be painful as an Eagles fan, but it won't surprise me.
Mike, before we let you go, we're going to put you on the spot and get you your opinion on the debate that we're going to have after we let you go. The Athletic came out with a project this week, the top hockey players of all time post 1967. The three top are the obvious ones. Wayne, Mario, and Bobby Orr. Rank those three in order for us, Mike.
I'll put it, this is the best way I heard the Gretzky debate against Orr was a friend of mine said that Wayne Gretzky was the best player that he saw over 100 feet of ice. Bobby Orr was the best player he saw over 200 feet of ice, which makes sense. Yeah,
which makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense, and we'll leave it at that. Mike, before we let you go,
yep.
Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I would say that Orr would be the best, Gretzky would be the most productive, and Lemieux would be the most dynamic.
I think you nailed it, Mike. I got to be honest with you. I think you nailed it. Thanks for that. And before we let you go, prediction. What's the final score of today's game?
Argos 24, Winnipeg 23.
Okay, I know you're going to bet Philly. So what's going to be the score, Mike?
Philly by one score, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, I don't know, but it's going to be a close game.
Anyways, Mike Hogan, the voice of the Toronto Argos, thanks so much for joining us, Mike. We appreciate it.
A lot of fun, guys. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville asked, do you want to meet the hot Hawaiian of your dreams? This hot Hawaiian is slathered in bacon, red onion, spicy sausage, pineapple, and hot banana peppers. A large thin crust is just $16.99. One bite and you'll say, luau! You might even get a lay on the beach. Call Pizzaville at #3636 on your cell phone.
We all value our sporting heroes.
But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and on the internet, live streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our sports card guy, Mr. Mintink himself. Of course, I'm talking about John Amendola. John, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great, guys. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing great. John, I better forewarn you, you have waded into a debate about
I like a good debate.
Okay. We're going to have some debates about the GOATs this week. But before we even get into that debate, John, bring us up to date on the sports card market. We haven't chatted in a while. What's going on? Today's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, you got Jalen Hurts and Pat Mahomes. If they're the MVP, what does that actually do? What does that actually do to the value of their rookie cards?
First I'll say the space is absolutely on fire. Very healthy. Kids of all ages. Right up to the young guys like us and the little guys coming in every day. And actually, it's actually unbelievable. The growth is unbelievable. A day like today really, really makes the hobby fly even more. You've got two of these great quarterbacks. I mean, a lot of people are going to tell you Patrick Mahomes is sort of taking the torch from Brady. You want to talk about GOATs. I mean, the pedigree is there already. So the last couple weeks, Patty Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, there's an absolute direct correlation to like being front and center in the media every day and the hype around the game. It definitely gets tied right back into to their cards and the hype. A little bit different, let's say, than like you mentioned GOATs, like LeBron. LeBron, we knew at the beginning of the season that he was going to beat the record of most points. So his cards, you know, the price of that record would have started to factor into his cards a little while ago versus, you know, something like the Super Bowl where literally, you know, I hate to use the pun, but any given Sunday, so much can change. Here we are, last day of the season. You have the best team all year against arguably the best quarterback the league's seen in the last half a decade. And, you know, the jury's out. So, you know, the Pats are an underdog. That's a difficult one, but we'll see what happens. You take not quite 100% Patty Mahomes against the best defense in football. We'll see. I think it's going to be a good game, guys.
Yeah, it certainly should be. Naz, I'll turn it over to you.
Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant sweaters went for $10.6 million and $1.6 million. Are you surprised at that, John?
No, the MJ market, first of all, just literally dwarfs everything else. And when you get right past MJ, when you get to Kobe, when you get to LeBron, it's still another level versus, you know, from there, the fall off. So you talk about GOATs, you know, we can argue who's better generationally. Wally and I were talking about this the other day. You know, with hockey, I say Lemieux, Gretzky. Now I'm saying, yeah, I think Connor's better than Crosby and Ovi. But then Wally said, you know, well, you never watched Bob Orr play. Maybe if I start talking to some kids today, have you guys watched Connor Bedard play yet? Like, I think he's better. He could be better than all these guys. So it's very subjective. But when you get to the Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Mickey Mantle, it's just a whole – in our business, and I'm going to call it the fine art sort of pop culture fine art, it's just another level. So, yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all, Ness.
Yeah, certainly not. We're talking about GOATs. LeBron self-proclaimed himself the greatest of all time this week. And, you know, God bless him. It's, you know, for me, he's had a remarkable career, but he hasn't knocked Michael Jordan off that pinnacle.
And I put my hand up to interrupt you, and I'm going to say, like, you know, if you're self-proclaiming anything, then for me, you're just nothing. Like, from that context, like, listen, he's arguably one of the greatest players ever touched the hard court, but who walks around saying they're, you know, the greatest with that kind of limelight? I'm not a big fan. I'm a huge Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant guy. You know me, Walter, I got a hard head. You can't tell me no. These guys just kept their mouth shut, and, you know, they were really misunderstood, but all they wanted to do was win. It's like when you go to work, the bonus is if you make friends and people like you. I mean, that's the harsh reality. So you've got guys like Kobe Bryant's up 2-0, 3-0 in the finals, and he's in an interview, and he looks like he just lost the season, and, he job's not done. Even guys like Allen Iverson, I think, are more humble, if you will. So again, LeBron's great, and I'm going to give him, you know, it's a different time today. So from a pulp culture point of view, from an availability point of view, like, I mean, would our opinion of Jordan be different if there was social media 30 years ago and we got to see the other side of him smoking cigars and gambling every day? But I mean, for me, it's all on the court. It's all on the field. It's all in the pool. Wherever it is what matters most to me. And that's what should matter when you're looking at data. So anybody that walks around that says they're the greatest and wore the other guy's number from day one, for me, will never be the greatest, guys.
On that note, if any of our listeners want to take part in the debate, our email address is nazandwally, not ampersand, A-N-D, nazandwally@mzmedia.com. And since we're on the topic of the GOATs, and we all bring an interesting part about this discussion, and we're going to get Lou involved and Naz, is we all look at this from a different perspective. You're the young guy at the table, John. You watched Wayne and Mario, but you didn't get a chance to watch Bobby. Lou, you got a chance to play against Wayne and Mario. And you got
exactly what I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that. And this whole topic arose, The Athletic is, and it's a digital publication I subscribe to, and I highly recommend it if you're a sports junkie like I am. They've got some great material. Eric Duhashik, I'm sure you've heard his name, put together a project. He brought together 9 of the top Athletic hockey writers, and they voted for the top hockey players of all time, the greatest players of all time, post-1967. But interestingly enough, they didn't do the top 100. They did the top 99. And given the title of it, it was pretty obvious the conclusion they were going to make is
right.
They unanimously picked Wayne, unanimously. And the comment was he's complete
And he has a complete and untouchable claim to being the greatest NHL player of all time. I'm going to start off with this. Then, Naz, I'm going to go to you, then Lou, and then we're going to go to you, John, because you all bring different perspectives. To say I'm not going to criticize Wayne Gretzky, no chance. Obviously, you can make the claim he's the greatest hockey player of all time. But to say it's complete and untouchable and unassailable, I got a little problem with that because I saw Bobby Orr play from the age of 14. I saw him at the age of 16 playing against men, playing against the Soviet Union national team at Maple Leaf Gardens when he was 16 years old, and he was the best player on the ice. I saw Orr for his entire career. I saw Gretzky. I saw Mario. It's tough for anybody to talk Bobby Orr off the pedestal other than the fact that he didn't have the longevity of a career the way Gretzky did. And if we want to use that as a measuring stick, yeah, it's pretty tough to say Wayne wasn't the greatest of all time. 61 NHL records he still holds, many of which will never be broken. But for me, Naz, watching Bobby Orr, it's tough. It's tough for me not to say he's not number one. Naz?
Well, far ahead of him. It wasn't.
Yeah, Naz, we're having problems with your signal again. Lou, I'm gonna turn it over to you. You played with Mario and Wayne, and you also saw Bobby. You know, it's tough. You pick either one of those guys, you can make a convincing case. But is Gretzky unanimous that we shouldn't even be having this discussion?
No, not there's no way that Wayne, as good as he was, and Mario and watching Bobby Orr play, it's a very, very close number. It's tough to look at all three hockey players. Bobby Orr changed the evolution of the hockey world, or the way the game is being played by the way he controlled everything on the ice. Wayne was Wayne. You know, he played 100-foot ice. Mario was probably the most talented, but unanimously, that's a really tough thing to swallow. I think they are so close that you can't even divide them as being the greatest of all time. And you know, for the people that voted Wayne unanimously, there's, you know what, I guess they have their likeness of what they saw with Wayne compared to Mario and Bobby Orr. And Bobby Orr really played his last 3 years on one leg. So I guess Bobby could have probably been a lot better with two legs and maybe a little bit longer career than Wayne and Mario.
John, you bring a different perspective because you're a younger guy. You're in your early 40s. You're in your early 40s. You probably never saw Bobby Orr play other than highlight, grainy, black and white highlight reels. Yeah. So, although Bobby Orr may be, he's probably the most famous picture in hockey history. Well, 1-2 with Paul Henderson, the goal of Bobby Orr being lifted off his skates when they won the Stanley Cup is certainly iconic. You got to see, Gretzky and Lemieux are a little bit closer in time to you. So you're a Gretzky-Lemieux guy. From a sports card perspective, it's pretty obvious. Gretzky's number one, isn't he?
From a car perspective, it's irrelevant. I mean, it's not even close. Like it's hard. There's lots to do with the you could start talking about the rarity of the car. Like, I mean, the reality is a mint condition Bobby Orr or Gordie Howe card we've never seen. And I grew up. Don't forget, I'm from Oshawa, so I did have some Bobby Orr exposure, especially when Lindros was coming up. You know, there was a lot of different, but same, but different, as the kids say today. I have to agree with Lou as far, I'm a Lemieux guy. I think it's like you guys talk about Bobby Orr the same way I talk about Lemieux. Like, what if he had 15, 18 healthy years? It's hard to really say. But in the world of cards, nothing comes close to Gretzky. Like, you know, there, again, the rarity of his cards, the fact that the Opeachy cards were only printed in Canada, all of that, but it's still not even close, relatively speaking. So, you know, I think just based off of the Athletic article and everything else, it's one of those things where the debate in hockey is nowhere near like basketball. Like, there's this real hard debate right now about LeBron and Jordan. And if you take, you know, anybody that's 25 or under, it's no brainer. It's LeBron all day. If you take anybody that's, you know, 45, 50 or over, it's no brainer. It's Michael all day. And everybody in between, it's 50-50. Hockey, it's, you can ask 10 people tomorrow. And, you know, for every guy that says, you know, Gretzky or Orr, somebody's going to throw in Crosby or Ovi, and they're going to say, well, look how good Ovi is, and he didn't play. He's been injured. Or what about Gordie Howe? Like, you guys can tell me Gordie Howe played in 5 decades. So I think it's very subjective. I agree with Lou. Maybe it's not as unanimous, but, I mean, again, I'm going back to the fact that I'm just all about winning 61 records. Like, I don't think you can really talk. 61 records, half a dozen championships. You changed the game. You put hockey on the map. Like, the trade to L.A. was the greatest thing that ever happened to hockey. Like, if we fast forward to today, I mean, so... Yeah,
I look at these debates from a fantasy perspective, and just to go through the list of Crosby was number four. The top three are there's really not much discussion. Crosby is number four. Jagr was number five. Ovechkin was number six. Hasek,
yeah,
I'm going to get goalies into the mix, was number seven. Lidstrom number eight. Esposito number nine. Bork number ten. Then we had Waugh, Bossy, Sakic, Lafleur, Yzerman, McDavid came in at number 16, interestingly enough, with a bullet. And then Messier, Coffey, Potvin, and Dion. Tough to argue with that golden list. But sometimes I look at these things from a fantasy perspective. I'm picking a fantasy team. I'm picking, you know, let me put five hockey players out on the ice. If I got a choice between five Orrs and five Gretzkys, you know, and that's a fantastic choice to have, let me tell you. You can't go wrong either way. I think I'm probably picking the five Orrs because you're losing advantage.
It's like football. The defensive players don't play like the offensive players.
Yeah, except Orr could play both ends of the ice.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
And he could
in baseball,
well.
the pitcher goes, the batter's always, you're talking fantasy, the batters are always ahead of the pitchers, but who doesn't want Randy Johnson on their team?
Yeah, it's a fascinating debate, Lou.
Agreed.
Gretzky, Lemieux, you got to look. You got to see these guys up close. What did you see between both of those that was that just separated them from their? They were just like on a different planet.
Well, Wayne was the ultimate team player, if you want to call it. The greatest player that I have, or even the best player that I have ever played against, because he could use, it's not his individual talents that stood out, it's what he made his other four or five guys on the ice look good every single night. Let's not take Wayne away. Let's take the other four guys away. Let's take the defenseman out of the way, because you know they're going to come up on the play. Because he had the vision that nobody else had on the ice. Mary Lemieux could beat you one-on-one anywhere on the ice. 6'6", 220, 225 pounds, long reach. Could put the puck in between your feet and take it out without even you knowing that it's there. The thing that with both of them, again, the physicality of the abuse that they took over the years probably didn't prolong their career. It hindered their career. And obviously Bobby Orr, what he did, and it's unfortunate that he did get hurt when he did at such a young age. We would not have known how many records he would have still had as a defenseman.
Naz, you're part of the old guys group here with myself. How do you rank these three?
Well, I have Bobby Orr first, Gretzky second, and Lemieux third. But I think Lemieux is the most talented.
Naz, you still with me?
Yeah, still here.
Sorry, we're getting.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Go ahead. I know. He just finished
Bobby
with Lemieux as the most talented. Yeah.
Yes, Lemieux is the most talented, though, and John is right. If he didn't get sick, what would his stats be like now, right?
What puts Bobby Orr over the top for you?
He was the best player at his position by far on defense, and no one even close to him. And you don't see that.
Would you say that, Lou? Would you say Lindstrom was the next closest thing to Bobby Orr, like from a defensive point of view?
Sorry,
Naz makes a comment that Gretzky's got Ovi on his tail. We got these two Connor kids. It goes back to the argument I just made with Walter about offense versus defense. But at the defensive position, was Nick Lindstrom the next thing we saw at that position that since Bobby Orr that was that much better than everybody else?
Like him or Paul Coffey. You got to remember Paul Coffey, what he did with those Edmonton teams and Detroit and I can't remember the other team that he played in Pittsburgh. What he did, and gentlemen, you got to look at players can be great, but I look at also winners. You look at how many Stanley Cups Wayne won.
Absolutely,
how many Stanley Cups Paul Coffey won. Mario won, I think, three, and Bobby Orr won, I think, three also. So that's what puts these four guys over and above everybody else.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, certainly. On that note, it's an interesting debate. We'll continue to have it. It's what sports fans love talking about, and it's in The Athletic. Go check it out. They did a remarkable job thorough job. They didn't take it lightly. They considered it from every different aspect. And the only thing I disagree with, I don't necessarily disagree with their conclusion that Gretzky was the best of all time. That's an easy one to argue. I just think, I don't necessarily think it's not subject to debate. I think you can make the case for Lemieux and Orr as well. On that note, guys, Lou, thanks for joining us. John, thanks for joining us. Naz, it's always
pleasure, guys,
doing this. And we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a fantastic
day. Fly, Eagles, fly. Have a great day, guys.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.